Circle, Jess here. Welcome to the August 2016 workshop. And this month I'm going to be talking to you about something called social proof and how you can utilize that to market your business. It basically comes down to finding and collating the good things that other people say about your business and then sharing that on so that your customers and potential customers can see what other people think. Because while we can talk about our businesses till we're blue in the face, people really trust when others tell them good things about a business, whether that be their friends, influencers, or just large groups of people, you know, because generally speaking, we think if a lot of people buy a product or use a service, it's probably going to be good. And we weight the words of people we trust and like highly. So in this workshop, I'm going to take you through the different types of social proof that you can utilize. And we're going to talk about how you can actually collect that, collate it, and how you can share it onwards with your audience as part of your marketing efforts. So let's get started with this month's workshop. Circle. So this month we're talking about social proof and how we can use social proof to market our businesses. All right. So of course the first question is, what is social proof? If you've never heard of it before, we'll talk a little bit about what it is first, and then I'll take you through a whole bunch of different types of social proof and how you can leverage those different types of social proof. So here's the technical definition. I'll read it out for those of you listening. This is sourced from Wikipedia. Not ideal, I know, but I looked around a lot of other sites and they all pulled it off here. And yeah, it's right. So social proof, also known as informational social influence, is a psychological phenomenon where people assume the actions of others in an attempt to reflect correct behavior for a given situation. This effect is prominent in ambiguous social situations where people are unable to determine the appropriate mode of behavior and is driven by the assumption that surrounding people possess more knowledge about the situation. So if you think very broadly about this, you think about situations where, say, somebody's hurt and people keep passing them by. And why do everybody else just keep passing them by? Because they assume that other people have more knowledge about the situation. Or when you go to a restaurant, or when you're walking along trying to choose a restaurant and there's one that's empty and there's one that's full, which one do you go to? The one that's full, because you assume that the people know better, that they know that the full one's better than the empty one. Whereas in reality, it could just be that everybody is falling prey to this this phenomenon, and the poor empty restaurant is just as good, and you never know. I'm sure if you think about it, you can think of many, many other situations where this happens. But of course, in the context of this workshop today, we're narrowing it down to the social proof and how it influences purchasing and buying and stuff like that. So At a deeper level, you know, we are influenced in what we buy and what we choose to invest in by other people's opinions. And that's what it comes down to. So we'll go through this again. In short, we often will do something or buy something because other people we like and trust have recommended it. Even if we've done our research, we might default back to, well, my friend bought it, this one, so that's the one I'm going to buy, you know. Even simple things like, you know, the brand of milk you buy. You probably buy the same brand of milk your parents bought because that's what you're used to, or the brand of bread, or, you know, those sorts of things. Or your friends recommend a particular type of yogurt or pasta, or, you know, those everyday purchases. We're influenced by what we're used to and what the people we know, like, and trust buy. So we also unconsciously trust our friends to have done their research, and when they claim something is awesome, we're biased by that opinion and are therefore more likely to buy what they've bought or do what they've done. You know, I have some friends who traveled around the world last year. They had a whole year traveling, and they, out of everywhere they went, we actually have a running joke now in our friendship circle. That one time in Croatia, because they were constantly talking about how awesome Croatia was, even after they'd gone to heaps of other places, they would always, whenever they would tell a story, it somehow would come back to that one time in Croatia where this thing happened. So, I now want to go to Croatia because they tell me how awesome it is. So it's next year, it's on the list for when we're in Europe to go visit that. And I'm totally biased. I'm influenced by what my friends are telling me because they've seen so much of the world now and they say that it's so amazing for so many reasons. So I'm going to go and check it out myself because how else do you make decisions about where to go, right? So that's an example, real world example. And it works more broadly too. As I said, just before, the old adage is you don't eat in an empty restaurant because, you think that's, the other people know something you don't, perhaps. And think about situations where you've heard or seen testimonials about a product from strangers. So, all those infomercials on TV, there's a reason why they're chockers full of people saying, I bought this thing and it worked for me, because that is social proof and it's very, very powerful as a marketing tool. Testimonials are one form. So we and what it really comes down to, I can talk about my jewelry or I can talk about the Thriver Circle, any other thing that I sell, okay? And I can talk and talk and talk about it. But when someone else talks about it, one of my customers or students actually publicly says how wonderful this thing is, to a potential customer or student, that has way more weight because they have no, they trust that person, to be honest, because what reason do they have to lie about it? They've already purchased this product or this service, and if they thought it was awful, then they could say that it was awful. But if they're actually going out of their way to say that this thing is great and worthwhile, that's trustworthy. So, we trust other consumers to tell us the truth about a product much more than the company selling it to us. So let's start talking about the type of social proof we can use. So the first one is the customer testimonial, as we discussed earlier. So this is where your customers are giving honest, positive feedback on a product in the form of a testimonial or a review. Customers doing this is absolutely golden social proof. So they might leave a review on your site or on your Etsy shop or another venue, on your Facebook page. You can leave reviews now and star ratings, or even on Twitter and other social media. They might also email you with feedback, which is really lovely. So those are some of the ways that customers, that usually when I, usually I'm talking about like a written review or testimonial here. Other ways to find these are sometimes you wanna Google your brand and see if anyone's written anything about you. So in the news section, look for blog posts about your brand. And any other mentions about your brand as well. You might even like to look at review sites if it's appropriate to your business, things like Yelp, there might be reviews about your business there. So keep an eye on all of those things because you can collate those and use those testimonials. Checking through your site stats, if you have access to analytics in the back end of your website, then looking for links to your website from other places is a great way to try to find this sort of stuff as well. So, this is where somebody has basically gushed about your product and said how amazing it is. So, how do we use these customer testimonials for our marketing? Well, the first thing, whenever a customer emails you with good feedback, ask them if you can share it publicly as a testimonial or a review. And if possible, ask them if you can get a photo of them, a smiling headshot, or them wearing, using, or with your product to go alongside it. People respond to faces. So, as much as possible, it's great to have a face next to a testimonial. Or, even if it's not a face, a hand, if it's, jewelry like I make, or a photo of the location in their home that the product is being displayed or used is also really good. Take public reviews from Etsy, for example, and post them elsewhere. So on your social channels, in your newsletter, or on your blog, you could create a rotating sidebar of reviews or on your website, or even a page of reviews on your website. If you don't have a plugin that does that for you, like WordPress, for example, there's plugins, reviews plugins. So you could have a page where, like, happy customers. I have what that we have a page where I upload and share happy customer photos and stuff. So you could do that. Now, obviously, if somebody has shared a review publicly, you can take and use that wherever you like publicly because they've already put it in the public domain. If they've shared it with you by email, like I said earlier, privately, you need to get their express permission before you share that publicly. So, my recommendation would be, no matter how wonderful the feedback is, don't share it publicly unless they've given you permission to do that. I mean, you could share what they've written without their name, but I would hesitate to do that. I would actually recommend against that because the name is what gives it authority and truth, verisimilitude. If you don't have a name, people could just think, you could actually negatively impact your brand because people might think you're making it up, basically. Again, that's why photos are great because it's a visual, hey, this is a real person. I'm not just making this stuff up. Place appropriate customer testimonials and reviews in the description of your products in your online store. So, if somebody's left a particularly glowing review for a particular product, take that review, if it's, a line or two of text, and actually put it in the description of the product. If you have a, if, again, if you have the sort of shopping cart a website that people can leave, reviews on the product itself. That's great as well. Obviously, if they're good, if they're not so good, it's not so great. But in this way, if you can just manually put a review there, so people can see what other people have said about it. Okay, so the second one, which is very close to the first one, is customer stories. I just wanted to separate this out because it goes a little bit deeper than a customer testimonial. So this is the process of you or your customers sharing their story, which happens to involve your product in some way. So instead of just a line or two of a review or testimonial, this is where your product becomes part of a larger event or story. So for example, as wedding ring makers, sometimes we get customers will send us photos from their wedding, like not just of the rings, but of the event itself. And often also quite a number of times I've found our brides and grooms featured on wedding blogs because they've linked back to, the vendors, the people that they've bought stuff from, and I've found it that way. So, I'll contact the photographer and see if they're happy for me to republish the photos on my own site, and then I'll take and tell that story that just happened. That's the story of someone's wedding that just happens to include our product. Right, so that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. Something that's a larger story, but that includes your product in some way. Obviously, videos are amazing. If you have ever managed to get a video, that's brilliant from a customer, I mean. So, how to use this one? Longer form is great here. So, write a blog post telling this story. With a number of relevant photos, share the story in your newsletter, and then you can pass out different bits of the story into separate posts on social media as well. Okay, so the beautiful thing about that is, it really goes into depth, and it kind of allows potential customers a window into the world of your brand and the people who are choosing to buy from you and what their values are. So you're starting to get into, your brand personality, you're starting to get into your core values by the stories you share and the stories of your customers. Okay. The third one is customer-created images. This is brilliant. In this age of social media, it's very likely that some of your customers are photographing and sharing your product on social media, and they may even be making videos of it. So hopefully, they have something nice to say alongside it. Therefore, it's a form of testimonial, but in a mostly visual format, which is brilliant for you. Because it gives you customer-generated visual content to share, and we all know how powerful visual content is. So even if they don't really say anything, the image is good enough to take and use. And many venues are now allowing customers to share their own photos alongside their reviews. So go look for them as well. Like I know on Etsy, customers for ages now have been able to upload their own photos of the product to put alongside their reviews. So again, those are public, so you can share them. Same with, if someone's sharing it on a public Instagram or Facebook account, then you can also share that onwards. So, how to use that? Well, collect any images that your customers share publicly. When you do collect them, make sure you save them with the name of your customer or their, social media handle. So that you can go back and find them again and you don't get it lost and not remember who it is. You can repost these on your social channels and tag the customer, thanking them for their share. So you're actually continuing that relationship with your customer in a positive way while utilizing social proof to your other customers and potential customers. So it's a win-win. Add them as additional photos to item descriptions. If you have a customer who's taken a particularly awesome photo, do this. I think ModCloth, there's actually quite a number of websites these days that do this. If someone shares a photo of their product on social media, they'll often take it and put it in the actual product, the product page. They will put those photos there. A lot of the time it's via Instagram hashtag and stuff like that. I know from like some of the companies I buy yoga tights from, they're really good at this. They have it all set up so that Instagram automatic so that their online shop automatically pulls the right products from Instagram and stuff. It's quite clever. But you can just do it manually, adding in those photos as if you have space for additional photos in your item descriptions. You can use these on your blog or website as illustrative images, or just again to on your blog to show what your customers have been buying. Use them as window dressing at markets. Years ago, I got sent this beautiful photo by one of my customers of her and her husband. It was just from the neck down, but they were standing side by side, and it was like a rockabilly type. Hipster wedding, and they were both standing there with their hands crossed like this, with their rings, and it was black and white, and it was really nice. And I actually used that at a an event I went to. I actually put it in a frame, that photo, and used it because it was so lovely, and I thought it really well illustrated our brand. So you can do things like that as well. And of course, always credit the customer. So if someone shares something on Instagram and you reshare it on Instagram, tag them. Same with Facebook or anywhere else. Tag them as much as possible with whatever so for example, if you know the customer's name because you sold it to them, but if they don't share their name publicly, don't go putting their name in there. Use whatever their handle or link or tag is, okay? Just to protect their privacy. Okay. So the next one is celebrity influence, celebrities or influencers. So this is where you get an endorsement from a blogger or a social media star or some other form of celebrity or influencer in your niche. So celebrity in general, influencer in your niche, if it's fashion or decor, like for example, if you make decor items and you got featured on the design files, that would be pretty awesome, that sort of thing. This brings something called the halo effect into play. This is a cognitive bias whereby we judge a person's opinion based on our own impression of them. So basically, if we know of a celebrity or an influencer and we think they're awesome and cool and stylish, then when they say something is good, we immediately elevate it in our minds. And this is where, someone like, Kim Kardashian, her entire empire is built around this. It's the idea that, the everyday person looks at her and says, well, she buys this or she uses this product or she recommends that thing. So because I think she's all beautiful and awesome and wonderful and I trust her opinion, I'm therefore going to go use that thing or buy that thing. Okay, that's those sort of celebrities, their entire empires are based on this halo effect, basically. And now influencers, they build a reputation in their industry. So as I was saying earlier, like Lucy from the Design Files, if you're into interior design and stuff, she is a huge influencer in that area. And I'm sure in your niche, you know of kind of the big names or the people who are well known in that industry. So it's those people. They've built a reputation, and therefore we give their opinion more weight than the average Jane or Joe on the street because we see that we imagine they have more experience with this topic or this niche, and so we think that their opinion holds a lot more weight than just any other random person. So getting an endorsement from someone like this is really powerful. So how do we use this? First of all, you may actually need to reach out and solicit these sorts of reviews or testimonials. Go look at the PR workshop in the Thriver Circle if you want to, learn how to start reaching out to people. Some bloggers and IG stars may ask for payment in exchange for a review or a share of your product on their channels. Be very discerning here. And ask them for stats. So if they're asking you to give them money for a service, they should give you all the information you need. So they should be willing to give you readership numbers, average likes or shares or whatever, depending on who they are, whatever the appropriate statistics and numbers are, you should ask for them and they should be happy to give you. If they're cagey and they're not going to, they're like, oh no, I don't give out that information, pass them by because they're being dodgy. Definitely only pay people who you've done your research on, you know that you're going to get return on investment. And yeah, the best type, of course, is where the influencer chooses your product, buys it, and then shares their thoughts under their own steam. This is kind of the gold standard of influencer or celebrity endorsement. They're not being paid, they just love it so much that they want to share it with their audience. And remember, these people are always looking for content. Like their entire livelihoods depend on sharing quality content. So if you can get your product in front of them and they choose it off their own bat, and choose to share it, then you're kind of helping them as well, really. So if somebody like this does review or endorse one of your products, make sure to share that far and wide. So mention it everywhere. You could add a as seen in section to your blog or website or as worn by or whatever. Having a press page on your site is a good choice as well. So a press page is where you list everywhere that you've been featured. So magazines, newspapers, websites, blogs, even big Instagram or Facebook, social shares these days would be worth listing there. You'll often see, if you read any other like marketers' blogs and things, even go to Create and Thrive and you'll see this on the sidebar. I've got like a little image that shows logos of all the places that I've been featured, and so a lot of people will do that, and that's a form of social proof. It's like these people have chosen to talk about me or to let me speak on their channel, so I must be saying something useful. So That's the sort of thing you want to be sharing. When a ferial's been featured in certain magazines, I make sure to share that around. We were interviewed for a book, and you know, when I worked with Etsy this year and last year for the Etsy resolution program. So I talk about that. You know, if they've chosen you, someone big in your niche has chosen you to buy your product or to work with you or whatever, it's a good sign that you're doing something right and other people would benefit from your product. The next one is the wisdom of the crowd. So this is approval or endorsement from large groups of people. This might not be terribly relevant to a lot of you because to a lot of us, we have small businesses. We probably don't have large crowds in any way. But like whenever you see a business using a phrase like 20 million users or 3,000 downloads this month or 10,000 newsletter subscribers, they're utilizing this wisdom of the crowd form of social proof. Basically, the idea is, you know, if a large number of people have chosen this product or service, it must be good, right? That's all it comes down to. So if your business has grown, make a big deal of any impressive numbers, like, you know, things like how many sales you've made this year, or if you want to share finances, how much money you've made. Probably not to your customers. That's not the right sort of thing. I'm thinking more of in the service sort of industry. Promote any large social media followings, promote large newsletter subscriber numbers. Basically, you know, people will trust that all those other folks are getting good stuff in your newsletter and that's why they're subscribed. Just, you know, any way you can share a large number. You know, you were accepted to a market that has 10,000 visitors or something. Like those big number things, anything that you can think of, that's the sort of thing you share under this wisdom of the crowd thing. The last one we're going to talk about is the wisdom of your friends. So this is where you choose to investigate a product based on the fact that your friend has endorsed it. And this is very powerful because it's not just a stranger recommending. I mean, a stranger recommending the product is powerful, but a friend is way more powerful. Why? Because we give more weight to what our friends, family, and acquaintances think. We also trust our friends to care about us and not steer us wrong. This is basically word of mouth. You know, word of mouth is so powerful because we trust what the people close to us tell us about things. So if you can utilize word of mouth, the wisdom of the friend, that's very, very powerful social proof. So how do you do that? Put social sharing buttons wherever you can. So on your product pages, on your website, in your newsletters, to encourage people to share your product with their friends and family. Ask your customers, actually make the ask occasionally and ask them to share. So for example, ask buyers to tag your social account on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and use a special hashtag if they share a photo of your product with their friends on social media. Nick and I have this little, I meant to have one to show you. We have a little thing that we put in every order, and it's got a photo of us and it's got a little space to write a handwritten note. But it also has a little section where we write, you know, we love to see our jewelry being worn by its new owners. If you happen to share it on social media, please tag us at Aferial and use the hashtag Aferial so we can find the post. So we're actually making the ask. We're saying, if you share it, please do these things so we can see. And that works well. Like, we have people regularly sharing photos of our jewelry, and then I go on and share them, you know, on my channels. But they're sharing it with their friends. Okay. And that's what I'm talking about here, is that by them sharing it on their social channels, they're actually sharing it amongst their friends. And so, you know, saying that little, like the little thing we have on our note, it tweaks their brain and encourages them to share it. Whereas they might have just put a piece of jewelry on and never thought to share it if we didn't ask for it. Another way you can do this is to target ads on Facebook and Instagram to friends of your fans. If they see that their friend is a fan of your brand, they're more likely to check it out than if it's just a random ad. You can run challenges or giveaways on social media that include a social share function. So, you know, all those challenges and stuff where you say, you know, tag a friend, share this post on your feed. You know, at the moment I'm running the Create and Thrive CT Month in the Life Challenge. And so that works, you know, in a sort of social proof way, because as people take part, they'll share, you know, they're tagging my account and their friends are seeing it, and they're saying, oh, what is this? And they'll come through to my account and then they might join in. And so I'll end up getting a whole bunch of new followers on Instagram during the challenge, because people are coming, their friends are talking about it and their friends are participating. And so it kind of grows and grows and grows that way. So that's kind of a way to build follower numbers as well, through this whole wisdom of your friends thing. And giveaways as well, you know, some sort of share function. And the last one, of course, is to set up a referral program on your website. So, or give a 10% discount code in the package that someone can give to their friend or something like that. So that's a good way to get people to refer their friends to your brand. All right. So let's just summarize a couple of the key social proof strategies, marketing strategies. You want to collect customer stories and testimonials, preferably with a photo, and share them on your website, blog, and social channels. You want to collect any images of your product that your customers share on social media and repost to your own channels. You want to reach out to influencers in your niche and ask for a feature or recommendation. Make a big deal of this if it happens. Emphasize any big numbers that your business attains. Sales numbers, length of time in business is another good one. You know, that shows you've been around for a while and people can trust you because you're still here. mailing list subscribers, social media subscribers, etc. And ask your customers to share your business with their friends. And there's lots of different ways to do that, as I just discussed. Right. That's all for today, folks. If you have any questions, as always, leave them below this workshop in the comments, or just come on over, tag me in the Facebook group, and I will answer your questions. So your challenge this month is to collect and share at least one form of social proof marketing. So what's that going to be? Are you going to share a testimonial? Are you going to share a customer created image? Are you going to reach out and try to get a feature for an influencer? Choose something, and if you do more than one, awesome. And then share it with us in the Facebook group and tell us what you did and how it worked for you. Okay, Circle, I will see you in the Circle and next month for next month's workshop. Have a lovely August. Bye.